Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. Is it? Did I do it? Good morning. I got it. I'm getting there. I'm learning. Well, my name is Mike. I'm so glad you're with us today. It was so funny. I was talking to my wife about the message today, and she's like, you know, you ready for it? And I was like, yeah. I said, sometimes, you know, you get weeks where you kind of get a feeling that there might not be a lot of people there. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, we have spring break, daylight savings, which, let's be real, right? And it's raining. So I was like, man, it might just be me and, you know, my mom in the first service and me and you in the second service. So I'm so glad that you're here. What good Christians we have. We're going to dive right into this. I have kind of a lot to cover today. We're in week two of our series on fasting. But man, I'm just so thankful that you're here. And I'm just so prayerful that something today is going to touch you in a way that maybe you hadn't considered before when it comes to fasting, which is such a weird topic and a topic that I think so many of us just like easily dismiss of like, blech, I'm not doing that. We talk about practices and we'll get into those in a second. To me, fasting is the one that is just absolutely the least appealing. It doesn't sound good. Like not eating doesn't sound good to me. Practicing Sabbath, like that sounds good to me. You know what I mean? Praying sounds good to me. Fasting does not sound good to me. So if that's you today, I just pray that you will be open to the Spirit doing something crazy with maybe the idea of fasting opening you up to something that maybe you've never experienced before. Before we do that, let's dive into a prayer real fast, then we're going to dive into the Word. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Today, Lord, I just pray for any distractions of whatever we have going on in our heads or outside elements like rain that might occur during this message, God, that those distractions will just stay outside and we could just focus in on your word today. Lord, speak to us in ways that maybe we don't see coming. In your name we pray. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open them up to Galatians 5. I'll give you a second here. Galatians 5 or your phones. Open your phones or your Bibles. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26 is where we're going to kind of live today. This is Paul writing to the people of Galatia, talking to them about living by the Spirit's power. It's a lot of verses here. I'm going to read them to you as fast as I can. Nina, I will apologize in advance to everybody that I am talking fast today. So I apologize. Okay, here we go. It says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yikes. It doesn't say yikes, but it should. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to this cross, to his cross, and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. That's a pretty good passage there, right? Would you agree? That's a pretty good passage. It sums up a lot of things for us here on kind of what we're trying to do and how we're trying to live. Like, we're going to simplify today with this talk on fasting. And before we get to there, though, we have to recognize through this passage, we want as believers, right? If you are a follower of Christ, right? And you know that it was one there on that cross, and when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was risen. It is true. We believe in him. We will one day be with him. There will be perfection one day when we're reunited and wherever when God's space and man's space come together. But until then, we're here, right? And until then, we want to live in a way, I think if we're honest, we have choices. We've got the first part of our sinful nature, of all those things, we'll call that over here. And we've got the fruits of the Spirit over here, right? We want to be where the fruits of the Spirit are. Nod your head if that's you, right? Not necessarily saying that's where you are. That's where we want to be. We don't want to be where the first part is, right? Okay, nod your head. Nod with me, coach. You're with me, okay? Got it, okay. All right, so that's good. We're on the same page. That's wonderful. So how do we get there, right? How do we eliminate as much of part one as we possibly can to grow those fruits that we hear about and read about in part two? So what we've been doing here to kind of help us with this at church is we've been pretty extensively talking about this idea of intentional spiritual formation, right? The idea that as believers or as apprentices, right, of Jesus, like the students of Jesus, we want to look more like him and how we're living by mirroring what he said to do and mirroring how he also lived through his actions. And then we do our part to find ways to create space and opportunities to allow us to be open and available for the Holy Spirit to go to work through us. Nod your head. You're with me, right? Thus producing fruits, right? Simple enough. So all you have to do is just tell the Holy Spirit what to do and when to do it, right? That's not, it doesn't quite work that way, right? Like it doesn't, I wish it was like that easy, or I could be like, just produce the fruits, let's go, do it now, God. But that's not our call, right? The Spirit can and will move in ways that are absolutely and totally out of your control. And we never, when we talk about intentional spiritual formation, want to give off this appearance that we've got some magic potion that God must follow, right? Or that we have some trick to manipulate the Spirit to form us. However, having said that, we do believe that we have some obligation to look upon the life of Jesus to see how he stayed so in step with the Father through his actions. And that's where the intentional part of intentional spiritual formation happens. That's where we do our part to stay connected to the vine. We'll get to that verse in a second. And have those fruits grow through us. So in other words, right, what did Jesus do to stay so close to the Father while he was here on earth? Like if you read through Jesus's life, right, and we start to see Jesus and his ministry, he is so close to the Father, just nonstop, and there's different ways that it's accomplished, right? How can we mirror that? Right, so what we see throughout Scripture is we see several different practices or behaviors, or if you're old school, we're going to call them disciplines, right, that Jesus consistently followed during his ministry. And that we feel as a church that if the formation of Jesus happened in part while using these practices, it might make sense for us to try to do the same. It seems silly to me that we have moments like we have in communion where we recognize who Jesus is and what he did for us and that our salvation lies in him, and we say, yes, Lord, we will be with you one day, and then it's like, so we just wait till he comes back? Is that what we do? Like, is that what we're supposed to do, right? So it seems silly that we might just like live this way of like, I don't know, I guess the Spirit will move when the Spirit wants to move, which is not knocking that. I'm not knocking spontaneity. But I also think it's important for us to have some kind of discipline in us trying to create some space for the Spirit to go to work in and through us. And that's where these practices come into play. You don't know how much I would love to think that I possess the discipline necessary to just constantly be connected to the Father without any effort whatsoever needed by me, that it just happens, right? I would love to think that I have that discipline, but I do not. You don't either, right? Like, you're a mess. Like, you're so busy. Like, I'm so busy. We have so many things and so many distractions, and we go back to that Galatians passage, and we're like, we're constantly being pulled by our sinful nature, even when it seems good, and we're being pulled away from these fruits being developed inside of us and through us. So we're so, so busy. I don't always want to pray. Ooh, I'm not supposed to say that, right? I don't always want to read the Bible, right? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm mad at God and I don't want to do it. Sometimes I'm super lazy and I don't want to do it. Sometimes I want to take a nap. You know what I mean? I don't always want to do this, or certainly I don't always want to fast, right? But just because, this is a little harsh. Sometimes my words come out more convicting. I seem like a sweet guy, but it might be convicting at times. I apologize in advance. Sometimes, actually, let me not say this. Just because I don't want to do something that I know I'm supposed to do from this doesn't mean that I shouldn't be intentional about doing it. Intentionality might be the only way that it happens sometimes, right? So think of this mentality. Sometimes I think we view our walk with Christ as it's like this quick sprint thing where it's like, we're going to run to the back there as fast as possible. We need the results that we have, that we want the results that we want. We want to get them right away, and that's it. It's not the mentality of a sprinter with your walk, right? Eugene Peterson has a book called The Long Obedience in the Same Direction, talking about discipleship and like your walk with Jesus. It is a long obedience. Think of like an endurance athlete. You know what an endurance athlete is? These psychopaths that do just like these insane races, right? They're running hundreds. I read about a girl who ran a race, and she ran 400 miles in this race. Over 400 miles she ran. And she started the race not knowing how far she was supposed to run. It's a race, it's a last man standing race where they run a certain distance every hour, whatever it is, and the last person standing literally wins the race. And she won the race over 400 miles. Do you think she woke up one day and said, I want to be able to run 400 miles, let's go? No, right? It took discipline. It took patience. It took perseverance, right? That's this walk with our journey with Christ. Is an endurance marathon mentality kind of journey, because it is tough, because we are constantly fighting with our sinful nature. And it's not just this instant thing. We see Jesus was very intentional with his practices. He constantly, again, I said this to our men last week, he had basically 2.5 years to do everything you know that he did on earth. 2.5 years. To do that. And he walked everywhere. And he slept. And he pooped. You know what I mean? Like, he did all the things. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. But he did all the things, right? And on top of that, he found time to pray. Intentional time to find solitude, to study the scriptures, to practice Sabbath, to fast, to have community, to serve others. He found time for those things to happen. Am I better than Jesus, right? That I just rely on when I want to, or okay, I need results, or I need to see you now, God, before I do something that he consistently did, right? Our feelings and the results that you're satisfied with are just not part of the should you do this equation in the Bible. That's harsh. I'll say something funny here in a second, don't worry. Okay? And the problem with this idea of intentionality is it just does not fit with our culture, right? This idea of this long-term results and us kind of pushing through and trusting God to do work in and through us rather than us just being able to instantly perform or instantly be satisfied goes completely against how this world operates, right? This idea of pleasure principle, Larry talked about this last week, that we do things that we want to do when we want to do them, and as soon as we don't want to do them, we stop doing them, right? This is like old man talk. My son's 18. He has so many friends that get a job, and they're like, we need you to clean the bathroom. And his friends are like, then we quit our job, right? And that's just how they operate. This is just how the world goes, is we operate by the pleasure principle. And so that's a major problem, right? If we're trying to live an intentional, endurance, athlete mentality kind of walk in life with Christ. So by intentionality and us intentionally finding time to create this space through these practices for the Spirit to form us and teach us, we grow, we're able to grow, right? The perk of this, the benefit, I know this hasn't sounded great so far, but the benefit of this in our intentionality is we get to do, John Mark Comer says, defines it as this, right? We get to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. And at the end of the day, doesn't that sound pretty nice to you? But we've got to recognize it takes some intentionality for that to happen. So when we talk about intentional spiritual formation, that is how we do our part to pop out those fruits through the Spirit. And again, these practices are a place where we create the space. God does the transforming. Make no mistake about that. We're just looking for ways to create space for that to happen. Last week, Larry gave a great message on fasting. It just really is this tool to help us with our intentional spiritual formation, why we fast, how we can fast as a way to offer our whole selves to Jesus. And I encourage you, please listen to that message if you did not listen to it last week. It's great. Listen to that message. This week, though, we're going to look at fasting as a way to help us grow in holiness. Big drink, right? To help us grow in holiness. Before we kind of even get into how that is humanly possible, let's make sure we're on the same page with two key parts of that, of our title here. First, we want to make sure we're talking about the same thing when we say fasting and holiness, okay? When we talk about fasting during this series and as a part of intentional spiritual formation, we're talking about the biblical practice of fasting and not eating food. Okay? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about taking a fast or a break from your phone, or you not eating fried foods, or you giving up meat. These things are fine things and probably good things for too. These are more like abstaining, but we're talking about in terms of what we see in the Bible, fasting is not eating food. Man, I want it not to be that so bad, but it is. It's not eating food. That is what we're referring to. Fasting in biblical terms means not to eat, okay? So when we say fasting, we mean you not eating for a period of time. There's no fasting from things in Scripture, right? Fasting, when we hear fasting, anywhere we see it, it's not eating food. Okay, so today we're talking about not eating food and creating space to listen if God has anything to say to you, or whether you might have something that you need to say to God, and fasting kind of creates this space for that to happen. Fasting is, make no doubt about it, a sacrifice. When we offer our bodies as a sacrifice and we say, I'm not eating, we essentially live out, and we'll circle back to this a little more here in a second, what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, when he's being tempted in the wilderness, right, before things get going with his ministry, 40 days of fasting, Satan starts coming after him and saying, like, turn this thing into bread, man. Like, turn this rock into bread. You can eat this. You can do this. It's fine. And Jesus does what? He quotes Scripture back to Satan, right? Another practice, Scripture, right? So Jesus knows the Scripture, and he says, people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is a callback, right? Like the hyperlink back to Deuteronomy when the Israelites are going through the wilderness themselves, and they get food provided by God in the form of manna from heaven. And they learn that their provision comes not from their own doing, but from God's doing. So that is Jesus telling Satan, my provision comes from God, not from things that we can create here on earth. And fasting is you saying the same, that your true provision does not come only from food, but from God. We see fasting all over the Bible for different things. Esther, Daniel, Anna, the town of Nineveh, Paul. We see nations fasting for different things. Elijah, David, Hannah, Zechariah. Paul is said to have fasted often. Jesus, first century Christians, it was a thing for like hundreds and hundreds of years. Fasting was just a part of the DNA of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Fasting was so common in the, because you might say, and the excuse that I did forever is like, he doesn't talk about fasting hardly at all in here. Like, I got no instructions. I got nothing on fasting. And then we see Jesus, when he does talk about it, there's only a couple of references. Once is a remedy along with prayer, right, to battle some spiritual forces. We see that in there. And then we see him talk about fasting of like, he doesn't say if you fast. What does he say? When you fast. So the assumption is that you're going to fast, right? Like that was just assumed that that was just a part of what you were doing. And then somehow along the way, various reasons that Larry got into last week, I think fasting kind of fell out of favor with Christians. And so last week we learned to offer our whole selves to Jesus, and today we discover another reason we fast, again, to grow in holiness. So we talked about fasting. That's what fasting is. What is holiness? We don't use that word holy very much. Like I surveyed a lot of people on how much you use the word holy. It's used a lot, like kind of derogative, like holier than thou. Like that gets used a lot. There's kind of a bad negative connotation with the word holy. A lot of you guys use the word holy as like an intensifier before another word. And that word is cow, right? What were you thinking? Jill. Oh my goodness. Pray for Jill. Right? So we don't use it that much. It's almost like a bad word that we don't think about. But what it means, specifically for the sake of like biblical terms and what we're talking about today, it means to be set apart, right? Like this idea of wholeness with God. You being holy means that you are working to take on that full character of God. God commands it in the Old Testament. We see that the commandment again in 1 Peter when God says, be holy because I am holy. Right? If you're with me, look like me. Right? We want to be holy, which is the second part of our Galatians passage, right? Producing those fruits of the Spirit helps us become holy. That's how we look holy. We don't just squeeze real tight and say we're holy. We don't say big words and become holy. We don't put on robes and that makes us holy. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is to be set apart from that sinful nature to work to take on the character of God. Nod your head if you would like to be holy, right? Jesus was holy. Can we agree with that? I don't think we don't use like the word holy to describe Jesus that much, which is kind of weird because what we've got is we've got Jesus who came here to earth as a man, took on the full character of an invisible God. So Jesus is a great model of holy. And how he lived is what we seek. Jesus embodied that second part of Galatians with the fruit to perfection. Jesus was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He was all of those things. He embodied all of those things. Don't freak out with the word holy and make this unattainable. We can work to achieve holiness through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Think of holiness as Jesus, and think of you looking more like him as the goal. John 15:5, this is Jesus, says this, "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So we seek holiness through the Spirit, and it's evident by our fruits. Are you with me? Okay, great. So what, right? So how does fasting help you grow in holiness? Again, if we simplify things to like just the max when we speak on fasting, we can say that fasting creates this time and space for the Spirit to go to work that you probably aren't great at creating space for, right? I talked to someone at Men's Retreat last week and they can't hear from God. He's not saying anything. So the question must be asked, when would he say something to you? When might the opportunity be there for you to receive what God says? Because what I'm hearing is we're super stressed about this and work and family and work and work and work and work and work and schedules and football and soccer and all the things. We're doing this. But God, where are you? And we threw out we all want the burning bush in front of us. And there's also the possibility the burning bush is like right there. We're just not looking. We're not creating space to see or listen to God. And so fasting gives us this opportunity to do that. Typically, our desires are the things that start to take over, right? The Galatians 5 part. That first part of Galatians 5. It's easy to say we're not going to do that, but realistically, we get drawn by our own desires to do most things, which is just the way the world works. We want to combat that by creating the space for God to go to work in us. This is not a new problem, right? One of my favorite songs has two lines that I think are just like, they just embody this human struggle, right? The believer, the struggle of the believer is this. The two lines are this. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's a 300-year-old hymn, right? "Come thou fount of every blessing." But that idea, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Like it's not what we want, but what we're prone to move away from God, we've got to be intentional. And in fasting, we give up something that we want to allow God through his Spirit to do something that he wants to do in and through us. It allows you to put aside your strongest desires so that God can go to work on your deepest desires, right? So when I say strong desires, these are the things that drive us a lot. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, right? With fasting, a strong desire is hunger. You want to eat. Hunger is a strong desire. That's okay. We have to eat, right? Work, right? Maybe there's other things that are strong desires. Lust, a major problem. Anger, a problem. You want justice the way you want it, the way you want it, right? Being right, staying busy to feel good about ourselves. They usually follow a pattern that may not be healthy when they start to become idols and our driving force. Me wanting to be a good dad is it's a fine, strong desire to have, but when that strong desire becomes my idol and the only thing I focus on, it becomes a problem. In fasting, what's revealed to you are the strong desires you have, and you laying down or recognizing those strong desires, and by laying them down and sacrificing those, you allow God to work on your deep desires. And if we believe what this says, in the very beginning, man was created in the image of God, to be in unison with God, to be in harmony with God. And we have jacked that up so bad that even though deep down what we all crave, what all mankind craves, is that unison with God, that safety to be in the arms of the Father, is what we all deeply crave. But we do such an amazing job of never getting to that point of working on that it's just hard to do. Fasting is not like this magic potion, like we said, but fasting allows you to sacrifice something and kind of help reset you back to factory settings, if that makes sense, right? Your spirit, your body, your mind, right? Your soma. We talked about this last week. Kind of everything. It's a really strange thing, and I wish I had like 5 hours or like 5 weeks to talk to you just about what goes on in your body and your mind when you fast, especially if you can push through a fast into like a multiple day fast. It's amazing how God has created you. One day we can talk about it much more deeply, but know that fasting is a great way to help you reset to factory settings, to put aside your strong desires to work on your deep desires, to take on the full character of God. And deep down, I think that is what we are after. It just takes a little work to get there. It slows things down and allows God to work. All of these practices slow things down. This is necessary to do for all of us. All of us need to slow things down. Fasting is a way to do this. This is a fancy quote that's not mine. Fasting is a way to starve the body to feed the spirit. Man, I wish that was mine. It's not. So think of it this way, right? Think about Galatians 5, right? Go back to our text here. I want you to consider the possibility that there is no neutral in this scenario, right? There is drive or reverse. And we're going to say drive takes us to the fruits of the Spirit and us trusting God to go to work through us. Reverse is when our sinful nature takes over. If that is the case, then we are constantly moving this way or this way. There's actually no middle line, right? There's this way or this way. Up here is full unity with the Father, and someday that will happen. It's not today, right? But someday we will get there when he comes back and makes things right. So we are constantly working to look as much like him as possible for ourselves, for our relationship with him, and for others to see and hopefully know him so they can hop on board with this also, of us trying to move towards those fruits of the Spirit. So we're going this way or we're going the other way. If you look at your last week, right? You had a 30,000 foot view of which direction you were going here, where your sinful nature took over or you were relying on the Spirit took over. And you go a little this way, a little this way, a little this way, a little this way. Which one are we closer to, right? I think if we're honest, a lot of us would say, like, I maybe did not do a wonderful job of letting the Spirit do anything in me or through me last week. Fasting is just creating the space for this to happen. Does that make sense? Fasting is, it's hard. It is so hard. It is, again, it is my least favorite of the practices to do. It is so difficult for me. But what it does is it reveals to me how much I have this strong desire for food and the need that it must happen. There is no commandment that I have 3 square meals a day. Like, that's not in there. But I've convinced myself that I must live by how I want to live when it comes to food. So in fasting, I lay that down. True fasting doesn't focus on what you want or even the results that happen during your fast. True fasting leaves the results up to God. So if you're like, this sounds great so far, awesome. If you're not, that's okay. Hang with me, okay? So some experiences that you might experience of intentional spiritual fasting. And I say intentional, don't loophole this into like, I can lose a couple pounds. Like, this is not a diet, right? We know that fasting has incredible benefits for your body. Like, incredible. There's so much science coming out. But that's not the reason why we're doing it for this. We're doing this specifically and intentionally just to create space for the Spirit to do whatever the Spirit wants to do, for God to work however God wants to work, and we're just creating space for this to happen. So some things you might experience if you decide to fast. Withdrawal, right? Like, right away, you might be like, oh my goodness, there is something so weird when you fast intentionally that you could go a day and you're like, I forgot to eat breakfast. I forgot to eat lunch. And now it's dinner time and you're like, I'm hungry, but that was weird that I skipped those 2 meals, right? When you intentionally fast, it's like the moment you wake up, you're starving and you cannot believe how hungry you are, right? I don't want to get into like the spiritual forces of evil at play here, but like, I think it's a thing because every time I fast intentionally, like, it is just a constant fight from the get-go. So some withdrawal is to be expected. Also, endurance race, right? We don't start off running 400 miles. You're not going to start off as an expert faster. There will be struggles if you fast. Dallas Willard, what he suggests you do is study fasting for a couple years before you even consider easing into it, because it is going to beat you down so badly when you do it. It is so difficult to do. But again, we don't lean on the what I want to do. We're looking back at like, maybe there is something to this. Maybe I do need to create the space. Maybe I do need to sacrifice this, these meals of however many meals we skip, to get to create a space for the Spirit to go to work in us. So withdrawal, you might have some kind of revelation, right? This might be like a revelatory experience where you're like, oh my gosh, like, that is so clear what God is trying to say to me. Amazing, right? You might, what might be revealed to you is like, oh my gosh, there's things that I need to be working on that I am not working on that are pulling me from where I need to be. Revealed in those moments. It sounds, raise your hand if you've practiced fasting at all. Like, raise your hand. Okay. Keep them up. Everyone, if you're not doing that, look around you at people that are raising their hands. They'll nod your head with me. You can put them down. Nod your head with me if you would say there is something strange about fasting that you cannot explain, but that somehow God goes to work through fasting. Nod your head, right? That's every head that raised their hand, right? So maybe this isn't crazy. Like, maybe this isn't crazy. Maybe there is something to this. Again, not some secret code remedy sort of a thing. Maybe it's just a way for you to sacrifice to create space, right? And maybe there's desires that come up that you say, oh my goodness, these things are keeping me from producing the fruit I need, and this communion with God that I want is not happening, right? It's possible that's what's revealed to you. Great. There might be amazing prayer that happens. You might do the thing, which is a great thing that I would suggest do, of like, every time your tummy growls, we're saying a prayer and we're reminding ourselves what we're doing. God, I do not know why I'm doing this so much, but I am trusting you to go to work somehow. Reveal to me what you need to reveal to me. And guess what? It might be nothing. It might be nothing. Unfortunately, we've learned that God's timing is not our timing, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't trust him. That doesn't mean that we don't create opportunities, right? Prayer might happen. You might have desperate prayer happen, right? We see these nations praying for breakthrough and miracles and things to happen. There might be desperate prayers that need to be had. You might have clarity. You might start to get clarity. The longer that you fast, I talked to Ben, our drummer and media guy this week, and he was talking about a 21-day fast, a 21-day water fast he did. And he was saying like the first 3 days were like the worst thing he's ever experienced in his entire life. But then like on day four, it's like there's like this clarity that started to happen. It was like there was this connection that he never had with God before that started to happen. There's amazing things that happen in your body and your mind through fasting. And so that might be a thing. I intentionally pray sometimes during my fast. I fast every week. I try to do it once a day. I'm not going to tell you what day that is because Jesus says don't make a big deal about it. So it's none of your business when I fast. It's none of my business when you fast. It's between you and God and me and God. When I fast, this week, I met a guy who has a strong addiction problem that he cannot kick. And he knows it. And he hates it. And he hates himself. And he told me he thinks God's grace is running out, is what he told me. My heart breaks for this guy. It breaks for this guy. So during my fasting this week, every time I got hungry, I lifted my boy up in prayer. You know what I mean? That's what I did. So there's different things that can happen when you fast. Your breath's gonna stink. I don't know why, but when you fast, you get bad breath. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me? Oh, great. Oh, shoot. All right, cross that off for the 11 o'clock service, right? Maybe the need you have for immediate results gets revealed. And you recognize what I need is things to happen right now. And maybe that needs to get revealed to you through fasting. Attack from the enemy, we talked about this. It's very possible you feel some kind of attack going on while you fast. But here's what I need you to know. If we go to a fast with a heart that has intentions to have God reveal what God wants to reveal, no matter what happens during that fast, it helps you grow in holiness. Because we're either going to expose areas where we need help, or it's going to bring you to moments with the Lord. But both of those things help in our quest to become holy, to look more like Jesus, and to produce fruit. So instead of doing the thing that we all do, of life gets stressful, so instead of dealing with that or seeing where that problem comes, we just shove it way, way, way deep down inside and let the other busy just stack up on top of that, and then we never actually deal with that thing, and we can never get to those moments where we are truly honest with ourselves about what the actual problem is. I'm not saying fasting is like equals to like, you know, 2 years of counseling. I'm not saying that, but it is a great way to help you expose things that you might be shoving deep down inside. I went on a trip a few years ago with my family to Disney World. It's like an 8-day trip. Right? Our kids aren't going to college anymore, but man, that was a fun week. So we went for 8 days. For some reason, I cannot even remember what the reason was, I decided we weren't going to check a bag on this trip. And I was determined that the four of us were going to take 8 days worth of supplies and a carry-on. And I will tell you, we flew with an airlines, we checked bags, the first one was free. So there was no reason for this to happen other than the stupid pride of man. I decided we're carrying on our luggage, right? So if you've ever done this, which I don't recommend 8 days, but I was like, I don't want them to lose their bag, you know, like I'm going like to Asia or something. It's a 4-hour flight. If it's lost, it's in Atlanta. It's not that big of a deal, right? But I'm convinced. And so what we do, if you do this, is you just start stuffing that bag full of everything. And my poor pair of socks that were the first thing in, right? Like that pair of socks, you get it out, they were just flat, right? But that's what we do. We just stuff stuff down. We never actually get to the thing that's the thing. And fasting helps kind of bring this to light. So even if that's the case, this brings you closer to holiness because you can then present that to God, or at the very least, recognize what the problem might be or where the work might need to happen in your life, or even if it's a moment where you just need to share with God and you have just not created that space. And fasting allows you to sacrificially do this. And I want to tell you, even if you fast for the right reasons, you still might have a moment in fasting, the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or all the times, and it seems like all the times, nothing is happening, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. I want you to consider the possibility that at most when you fast, you've got some kind of revelation that happens through your prayers, something you have to say to God, something God has to say to you, something that's revealed. At most, you can have a crazy breakthrough. Maybe miracles happen. And at minimum, you mirror Jesus in the wilderness. That's at minimum. Does that sound like a good minimum to anybody here? Right? Jesus in the wilderness had nothing to offer, was having, my guess, a pretty miserable time with Satan just constantly coming at him, constantly coming at him, constantly cutting at him. And what he does in the wilderness is he says, he sacrifices himself here to just make way for God, right? God provides. You fasting says to the enemy working in your life, I'm putting this aside and my provision is coming from God during this time, not from what I can do. So at most, revelation happens, but at minimum, if your intentions are pure with your fast, you look like Jesus in the wilderness. Can you see how this can help us grow in holiness and what we're trying to do? Okay, so what? So you've been asleep for 30 minutes, okay? So you wake up real quick. Let me give you kind of a so what. If you're a note taker, you're like, I've had nothing to write down so far. Maybe you've had a lot, I don't know. I'll give you something to write down. Fasting is an intentional way to create space for the Holy Spirit to help us produce good fruit. Good fruit equals growing in holiness. Okay, are you with me so far? Are you convicted? Are you convicted to fast? Who's pumped about fasting? All right. Okay, again, you don't have to fast. There's not a test. I'm not checking up on you. We're just providing you opportunities, hopefully, to help you in your walk here until we are reunited with Jesus someday, right? That's what we're trying to do. Also consider how unsexy this message is and that as a church, we pray so much about what we need to talk to you guys about, and God is leading us this direction. If we just said, like, we want to provide messaging that makes thousands of people want to flock to this church, we would say stuff like, if you pray for money, you'll get money, right? But we're not doing that here. We're having tough messages. So take that also into consideration when you consider what we're talking about here and why. So what I have for you now is homework. Oh man, what a great message, right? I love when Mike talks. He talks about fasting, then gives me homework. Here is your homework, if you're not scared, okay? Here's your homework. Does it even say that up there? It does. If you're not scared, here's what it is. Number one, I want you to eliminate excuses in your brain that you can't fast. I'm not a doctor. If there is a reason from a medical doctor why you should not fast, do not fast. I almost had a breastfeeding mother punch me in the face the other day when I was talking about fasting because I can't fast. This baby's already sucking the life out of me. I have to eat. I must provide food. Like this is, sorry. That's a first service joke. But eliminate the excuses, right? Take into consideration all the things that we said that fasting might be something that you might consider doing. So eliminate those excuses. I am not a doctor. I understand the world we live in also with eating disorders, and I'm not going to pretend like that's not a major factor in this room. Talk to your doctor before you actually fast if you have an actual medical concern about what's going on, right? That's my little asterisk note there, okay? Number two is this. Fast. Right? Don't eat for a predetermined period of time once this week. Just try it once this week. Here's what I recommend. All right? The purpose is us spending time with the Father. That's what we're trying to create there, right? We're eliminating your provision. We're trusting God's provision. Okay? That's what we're doing. One time this week. What I would recommend, you can skip a meal if you want to skip a meal. I would recommend that you go to bed. I would cram it in before you sleep, right? Like, eat what you got to eat before you sleep. I would wake up, and I would not eat again until dinner that night. That's what I would recommend doing. I think that gives you enough time to recognize some things. Again, it's not a magic thing. You can do whatever you want to do. Skip one meal, do whatever you want to do. I talked to someone who said that they wanted to fast and felt like fasting for one day was something that they could on their own willpower do, and they didn't want to rely on their own willpower. So they did a six-day fast. 6 days for their first fast. I don't recommend that, but you can if you want to. I'm not telling you, you pick the amount of time, but try to fast one time this week. Again, you understanding exactly what's supposed to happen, you fully convinced this should happen or shouldn't happen, does not matter for this. Let's take into consideration there might be some validity to the way that Jesus lived and for the way Christians lived for hundreds of years, that maybe we got rid of this thing that might help if we bring back into style, okay? So fast. The third thing is this: allow whatever happens to happen, right? The results are not the criteria on whether you fast again or should fast. You don't get to control the results, right? You just control the space for things to happen. And if they happen, they happen. Don't freak out if your world isn't changed, right? Don't freak out if you hate it. That's totally fine too. Don't freak out if you love it, right? It's just gonna be like this, fasting is wild, right? It's gonna take some time to settle in with fasting and for you to understand and to find this good rhythm when it comes to fasting. Again, think of our endurance runner, right? This is endurance. This is not a sprint. This is endurance. The fourth thing is this. Come back next week. That's a bonus, all right? Come back, right? Come back. Give this thing a chance. Like, you're gonna hear about it for 4 weeks. So if you're not here next week, I'm going to think that we scared you off, that I scared you off, and it's because of fasting. So come back next week. So remember this, right? One good thing I would say, that Galatians 5 is a pretty good passage. I think Scripture is pretty important. I think memorizing Scripture is pretty cool too. That's a pretty good passage to memorize. That's a pretty good default go-to, how are things going, where am I off passage, that you might consider doing with that. And remember this, through that passage, we know that our nature is to sin. And we've got to trust the Spirit to help us grow that fruit and not rely on us being able to handle everything ourselves. And fasting helps create that space for that to happen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for this group of people. I thank you so much for this message that came out way more convicting than I meant for it to. But God, that's got to be you, not me in that. So whatever it is, whoever needs to hear that message today, I pray that it just sunk in a little bit more today. God, we thank you so much for your Spirit that is just waiting for us to create space for you to do your thing. And God, we apologize. We confess that we are just sinful nature people, and you know that, and we know that, and sometimes we just go towards those strong desires, and we forget about that deep desire inside to be in communion with you. So God, we just pray, I pray specifically for those in this room who are really on the fence about trying different ways to give you a chance to go to work through them. Lord, we are, of course, open to spontaneous moments of you working how you want to work, and we will forever be grateful for those, but we also recognize today, God, that we live super busy lives, and sometimes we kind of push you to the side. So this week, at least once, I pray that someone in this room, even if it's one person, just find some time to maybe lean into this practice of fasting and give you a chance to go to work in their life somehow. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the example of your son on how he lived. Lord, let us take that seriously and help us as we model our lives to be a little more intentional with how we look and growing to look more like you, because holiness is what we seek. And God, we are so ready for that day to be fully united with you. But God, let us not just say we're going to wait to die and that's what we're looking forward to and that's it, but rather we're going to wait to live. We cannot wait to live here to show others what it looks like so they can know you, so we can know you, so we can experience these kingdom moments here on earth as it is in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.